This episode is brought to you in part by Swim. Here's the thing about wishlist apps. Most of them just sit there. A customer saves a product, and then nothing happens. Swim actually activates that data. When someone wishlists a product, you could trigger price drop or back-in-stock alerts and feed that intent directly into Klaviyo or your CRM. You're not guessing what people want, because they've told you. Plus, customers can share wishlists for gifts, and your team can view them to offer personalized service online or in-store. And unlike cart abandonment, wishlist data is permission-based. These are people raising their hand saying, "Hey, I want this, just not right now." Swim's been around for over a decade. It powers 45,000 stores and installs in about 5 minutes. You could try it for free today at getswym.com/Kurt. That's getswym.com/Kurt. Shopify Editions, 2026 Spring Editions. That's where they drop all the new features, usually a lot of features, like 100 features. So many that I have trouble keeping up with the level of software roadmap, the level of releases that Shopify does. So we need an expert. Probably no one more expert at this than Vanessa Lee from Shopify, VP of Product, who's going to talk us through it. Vanessa, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Kurt. It's been a while since we've seen each other. I'm glad that we finally got to do this. We were saying that we haven't done it before.
No, the first time on this podcast, my absolute, of course, you know, pleasure to have anyone from Shopify because, man, I live, eat, sleep Shopify. I spend 40 hours a week in that Shopify admin. So very excited to hear what's new. And then more importantly, kind of the, you know, why it matters. If I'm a merchant, where do I start? That's always my trouble. It's like, man, there's so much here. Like, give me that next step. And so I think you're the right person to help us with that. And I'm excited to reveal this is a series. In the coming weeks, we are going to hear from other product leaders at Shopify. We're going to go deeper on some of these topics that Vanessa introduces us to. So, okay, Vanessa, I've seen enough of these Shopify editions to know there's always a theme. What is this year's theme or this season's theme?
The season's theme is the everywhere. There's one theme that we've been talking about internally in terms of like R&D and product investment for a long time, where we want to make sure that you show up everywhere as a merchant, right? And it's a reminder that although it is not new to Shopify, we have done this back in the day when even we did channels. Remember, we did channels back in 2015, 2016, like a long time ago. We helped you show up in Amazon, in Google, in Meta, recently TikTok, right? And so like we have always tried to help merchants show up everywhere that their customers are. It is the lifeblood of helping people build businesses. And so this edition, we know that the next wave of channels people are anxious about is AI-powered channels, right? Agentic commerce. And so we decided, okay, well, let's make it all about that because it has been the theme. Like, how do we make sure that you show up everywhere that your customers are shopping? And so that was really the theme. It was a very simple, very literal. It's just like you show up everywhere that your customers are.
My gentle pushback on everywhere is how is this different from omnichannel? Like 6-7 years ago, we would have been, omnichannel.
Oh, absolutely.
But you alluded to with like sales channels. So I agree with you. Like, hey, that's where we're at. This is everywhere. It's, you know, this full surface for merchants. But that like everywhere is a theme. How are we building on omnichannel?
You're right. That's kind of my point is that we have been doing this for a long time as a community of people who have helped build brands, who have been building things to power brands. This is not unique. Like even omnichannel is that, like point of sale, having this like consistent view of a customer between, in-person sales and then online sales, understanding, their shopping patterns between both. This is all about being everywhere and then having like the right data to make sure you're showing up in the right way. But I don't think it's different. It's why it's kind of a reminder. It's not, in fact, a new thing. I do think that we go through this new season and we're like, oh, there's a new set of channels. I'll pull on the part that I am excited about because we might as well jump right into it, where I do think that there is a fundamental shift with AI that is different than just the agentic commerce lend. Okay.
Tell me
and
about
it's
it.
A bet. Yeah, so it's a bet. Maybe in a year from now, Kurt, we'll sit down and, like, you know, let's make a bet on this. Like, let's put $50 on the line. I do think that as code is becoming democratized, that there is a new set of influencers that have yet to really be recognized as influencers, which are people who are building bespoke software, right, for their niche community. I do think, like, as, you know, as code is now as easy to generate as a word, that you're able to give tools to people to create these, like, applets. I almost want to say applets, websites that speak to their own niche audience really well. And that is a much harder problem than we've ever faced on how do we make sure that merchants are there as well, right? For sure, we're working with, you know, really large partners, Google, OpenAI. We're working with Meta, Microsoft. These are the folks that we've been talking to for the last, I want to say, 18 months at this point. And we are still very focused on that. But then there's
You're alluding to UCP, Universal Commerce Protocol.
UCP, exactly. So, like, we have been working on UCP, but even before UCP, we were working on Catalog with OpenAI and building the muscle internally to be able to be the distributing infrastructure of products, right? But, like, looking at what we've built from working with these partners, it was also really clear that these same rails, this same search catalog API, this same UCP protocol is also the same thing that could power the next wave of applications that's generated by folks who are not as large as these partners. There actually isn't a shopping API out there at this moment. Like, there's not one. There's not an API you can hit as a developer and be like, okay, I want to search for red shoes and I want to create an app that is like celebrates red and everything's red. And maybe it's Chinese New Year. I don't know. And then, like, you're like, oh, where can I get a shopping API that gives me all red products and I can embed it deeply within my, you know, I'm just pulling Chinese New Year, you know, app or website. You can't. Right? You can't. You have to build your own scraper. You have to figure out what that looks like. And the fact that we already had this API and this infrastructure, we always wanted to enable all developers to be able to use it. And so this is, like, the fun thing about everywhere as well. It's not just about being everywhere in those omni-channel places that we know, the large channels, but also how do we be everywhere in this next wave of commerce that hasn't even been created yet because code is starting to become democratized. And so that's, like, it's like both ends of the spectrum, really large and upcoming exciting channels, as well as kind of exposing the infrastructure we've built in the catalog API and UCP and making it available for everyone else that haven't even really started building yet.
This starts with catalog metafields, with category metafields. When was that I first started seeing these? First I get category. And then category starts expanding, where I pick a category and it even suggests it to me. And the categories start expanding, like the total list starts expanding. And then, you know, if I pick one, it knows, like, bag. People sell a lot of bags online. And it's like, all right, you know, gender, age, so, like, it's color. It starts adding these other meta fields. All of that was scaffolding data input for this larger initiative, wasn't it?
Plainly, I'm pretty sure this was 2024 early.
Okay.
But it was either 2023 or 2024. And you're right. Like, we built that. And I remember because I worked with the team on this one very closely. But you're absolutely right. Starting to taxonomize products in a uniform way with a global taxonomy was the start of us taking all of the disparate products across all the shops because we absolutely had no idea what anything was. So we had no ability to help anyone, you know, understand how their products could be structured. We just, like, you know, you do you, like, make your products how you want to make your products. You have attributes that are in the HTML in your product description. We didn't know that the color of the bag was auburn brown. I don't actually know if that's the color, but you know, we didn't know that because so that limited our ability in the future to be ever able to create a catalog like this. Because if we can't know that this is auburn brown that actually matches most closely to the standard brown taxonomy color, then we could never create a catalog where if you're able to say, hey, give me all of the brown things, right? I want to find brown bags. Well, we don't know that this is a brown bag because we didn't taxonomize it.
We didn't define it in a way that a machine can read it.
Exactly.
You know, we did everything to optimize except tell Shopify, right? Like it all lived in the product catalog. And it's like, all right, well, now we have it in structured data and I have it in like random meta fields I defined over here. And then slowly over time, it got standardized. Once you had all that data standardized, now you can leverage it. Now you can do more interesting things with it. What are we doing with this catalog data, Vanessa?
Yeah, so it's been now a couple of years. We started investing in search infrastructure almost 18 months ago, I would say, truly. Might be a little bit more at this point. And the team did a phenomenal job kind of building up this, not just understanding the data, which is the first step, but then also what does our ranker look like? How do we actually search, build a really opinionated commerce search that does a good job, right? And so we've been building kind of the search infrastructure and ranker alongside just like cleaning up the data. So we did the taxonomy and the attributes, which was step one. Second step was clustering. So I remember like literally, I think we shipped pretty in the spring, perhaps the taxonomy feature that you're talking about, right? In the admin where you put in some data and we will help you taxonomize, like this is a bag, these are the attributes of bags. And then I think that fall, we started working on clustering, right? So if you look at the spectrum of Shopify, we're large enough now. I remember when we were only 200,000, now we're millions. Of brands, and there is actually a lot of the similar product being sold across shops, right? And the problem that poses for search, and you'll see this across major search engines today, is if you have 10, let's say Vuori is a great one because they're so popular and they have so many resellers.
I'm wearing Vuori socks right now.
Vuori socks. Okay, that's nice. I haven't bought their socks. I only have all their sweatpants. So like, let's say like a really popular jogger, like their jogger. I think it's Dream Knit Jogger, right? So their jogger is sold, let's say, pretend hypothetically, with about 50 retailers on Shopify, right? They have a wide retailer network. And a lot of them are on Shopify, actually. If you search for Vuori joggers, right? Something a little bit specific, but pretty vague, Vuori and everyone else on the merchant side, even the customer would want to see a variety of Vuori joggers, right? I want to see like all the options for joggers because they actually have quite a few, not 10 of the same jogger just taking up the top 10 spots of the search results. And so in order to account for that, we have to start clustering. So that first result is maybe the Dream Knit jogger that I talked about, right? The first one will have that, but when you click into it, it lists all of the what we call variants or offers from, let's say, Vuori themselves. That's ranked first. And then there's a retailer that's close to me in Toronto. That's ranked second, has all the prices. You're able to see like, okay, well, these are all the basically the buying options for that jogger, for that SKU. Right. And so that is actually a very difficult, complex problem. And so we enabled something in the catalog. You'll see it. And we released it last year called the Universal Product Identifier, UPI. And so that means that jogger, we had to build all of these systems to denote this is an individual SKU and all of these other 10 product listings on Shopify are actually part of that same SKU. And we're going to cluster them together. And that's actually a pretty difficult thing. So we did that.
Yeah, how do you know?
Oh, it's a very difficult ML problem, right? Luckily, we have a great team who has kind of done this before, and so we build a ton of ML systems.
ML being machine learning.
Yeah, machine learning alongside with some of LLMs, but it's really just a machine learning model that's able to classify and say, okay, this is a cluster, right? And so it's not to go into it, but it takes a lot of energy to build that. And so once we had UPI and we said, okay, we're reliably detecting that these are the same product, don't even get into the complexity of variants and swatches because you also want to be able to, within that PDP, say, all right, well, that dream jogger, that jogger comes in red and blue and, black and gray, because sometimes people do that in many product listings, right? Separate product listings. So this has been a absolute, difficult problem that we spent a lot of energy on. And now we're at this place where all of those pieces, the taxonomy, the clustering and the UPI, and the ranking system is now at a place where it's a very, very compelling search API. I'd say this season is like the first time that we're saying like, oh, every version of the catalog that you saw up until this point was us working on getting to this point. And it will continue to evolve and get better and better. But it now powers shop. It now powers a lot of our partner conversations as well, where we can. And now we're making it available to everyone. So like, that's the thing that I love about this edition is now like, hey, you can go reach for the catalog, go into the dev dash, play with it, build some cool shit. I think you'd be amazed at like the type of creativity that comes out.
Support for this episode comes from Zipify One-Click Upsell. And they want to know, what if your upsell app paid for itself? Every Shopify merchant knows they need upsells. But upsells aren't free. There's the monthly cost, a cut of every sale. Some apps charge you per offer view, whether it converts or not. One-Click Upsell is the gold standard. It's the only upsell app that works across your entire funnel. The product page, the cart, checkout, and post-purchase. And recently, they introduced a feature that can make all of those upsells free. It's called Post Profit. It places brand safe offers from names like Disney Plus and Hilton on your thank you page, and then deposits cash directly into your bank account. Some merchants are clearing $100,000 a month simply by turning it on. Post Profit can cover your entire one-click upsell subscription, so you get the best full funnel upsell coverage available for a fraction of the cost. So free upsells sound good to you? Visit Zipify.com/Kurt and start your free trial today. That's Zipify.com/KURT. 30 days free.
So, all right, my two questions here is, one, what kind of experiences do we think people are going to build with this? Where do we think this goes?
I definitely think that this will power a lot of really, you know, large partnerships. That's our goal, is to evolve the catalog and continue to make it better and better to power, our big partner conversation. But I actually asked the editions team, because they are wildly creative, to go and create a bunch of shopping experiences. Because I'm like, guys, it's not just conversation. AI makes it possible for us to do some really, really cool stuff, right? And so I hope you'll pop off into it, because it's just incredible to watch. But part of this edition, you'll go and find, I think it's like 5 applications that the team has honed in. And a lot of the designers created these from scratch because they had enough, you know, tokens to be able to generate the code that backs it, but they just used the catalog. And then they were able to create things like, I think the first one I saw that blew my mind was, I'm not super into horoscopes. It's like a horoscope app. I guess it's like, there's a horoscope popular app. So they like thought of something similar to that. And these are all just, example repositories that we created. And then, so it tells you your horoscope. And then within each, it says, okay, here's some products that you can buy that will help you with, I don't know, whatever plagues you in this horoscope day, that, like whatever prediction it was, right? And it was like so seamless. It was like burn some incense to like help you through this day, right? That's difficult. Wear something sparkly. It was just like so creative and fun. Another one was like, you could upload a video of, hey, I really wanted to shop this scene. And then it'll just pop off in the funnest way. Like it will just like kind of explosion, create all of these different like shopping options that are, you found in the photo, which was really cool. I like, just, you have to check it out, but it's just like, these are the type of niche creative experiences that are still backed by AI, because they have like, they use image recognition, or they have a lot of AI APIs that they've used to create it, but it's not the standard just like, okay, I have a conversation and I found a thing, right? That definitely will be popular, but I wanted to force us to break out of like just that modality as like a way to build shopping applications.
You know, I played with an early version of UCP when it was less powerful, and I was impressed. I only gave it really esoteric items to find, and the breadth of Shopify merchants is so wide, everything I gave it, it found someone that was selling it. I couldn't believe it. Like, initially I started with just Hot Wheels I knew were out of production. Just returned it. Like, okay, that's neat. And it did, like, and there were no false positives. That I also found very impressive. Because when you think of, like, you know, the size of a catalog, just trying to sort through something like that, extremely difficult. This was able to do it. And do it remarkably well with stuff that was like odd. You know, I was like, Hot Wheels Cyberpunk. It's like, well, there's 3 people that sell that, and it didn't have anything wrong about it. I was impressed. So I see the potential of where this is going, but it's an algorithm. You know, there's millions of products, but in a query, it can only return, I believe it, when I played with it, it was 10. I think it's 30 now. products of the return? Like in one request.
Yeah, and in a request, you can now paginate through it. So we are encouraging, like, maybe you want to build a really large collection page, search results page. You can do that if you want now. And we also partnered it with a couple other companion APIs, I want to call them. Like, we did lookup endpoints so that you can then go and say, like, okay, well, out of all of these queries that I'm getting, I want to get the latest exact, like, all the options, all the variants, all of the prices, all the, the details of it up to this minute, so you can populate a PDP. Like, I do think that when you tried it early, the nice thing is, and it's funny because you found it even back then, now it's billions of products. Like, that's wild. So now the catalog contains billions of products. And I think it's something that you're going to continue to see time and time again. But we also partnered it with two big features. Right. So we're announcing paid placement on catalog. So if you are building using the catalog, you can earn a bounty if you turn on a flag. Right. It's something that I think will enable developers to keep their apps alive. You know, hosting is still not free in this day and age. And then we're also adding personalization. Like, great search is personal search. Like, we all know that now for a long time, having watched Google and watched other major search engines, personalization is like the key to making something, resonate with whoever you're trying to build for. And so we've partnered shop login as well as the catalog. So you can pass in a identifier if someone's logged in. We will, privacy preserving, look up everything that we know about that individual, that buyer, and we will re-rank according to what we know about what Vanessa likes. Vanessa likes these particular brands. When she runs, she wears On, sneakers. And then also she's a size, 7 shoe or whatever. And then it will actually re-rank intelligently based on that. And so those are two that we announced features that, like, oh, it's something that is very imminent. And we want to make sure people can follow along on the catalog journey that I'm super pumped about. Those ones are really cool.
This is the power This is the power of Shopify as a platform, the network effects of, like, all these products and features being interconnected and now being able to talk to each other, being able to leverage each other's data in unique and advantageous ways for everybody. So now it's like, okay, we could get the entire catalog served through an API, essentially billions of products served up through that. All right, you built a search engine for shopping on the internet. I accept this. This first one to do this. Then we have personalization, but it's all based on the convenience of shop. I would log into a store and you pay with shop because it was so easy. I hear all the time people, I hate when I go on a store and discover it's not Shopify because it's hard, right? I want the convenience. But it has my order, it has everything. And so now we can apply that to this algorithm and intelligently, without either side having to really do much of anything to figure out that personalization, Shopify does it for us.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah. Isn't it cool? It's the thing that gives me so much joy, like, watching these things come together, because absolutely, it's like serendipitously fits so well together. And that just is so satisfying to see, like, okay, well, of course we would leverage everything that we have understood about customers. And then it provides so much benefit for both the consumer. Of course, I want everything personalized to me as I'm going around the internet. That's actually what I want. And then on the other side, developers would have an incredibly difficult time building that into their own whatever application they're trying to do, right?
So usually.
Yeah, it's just an impossible, network effect that you could never get access to, would never be able to help you with conversion. And you would never be able to earn money if it wasn't converting really well. And so this is just like positive on positive on positive, which is just the funnest feature to work on.
The other, if I'm a developer now, my head is spinning with possibilities of integrating this. Mm-hmm. The catalog API, because I want the search, I want the personalization, shop sign in. Like, there's just a lot I get out of integrating with this. And it's just not that hard to do anymore. Cost of software development just keeps going down. And so I've got, if I could point my AI agent of choice at the documentation for this, they could probably build it. And of course, Shopify's got, an MCP and, I've used the AI toolkit. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
To get going here. If I'm the merchant, how do I optimize for this? I mean, essentially you've said to me, hey, there's an algorithm with future limitless possibility. How do I optimize for it? What do I do in my catalog?
That is such a, I mean, the perfect segue. We did not plan this, I promise. But it's the perfect segue into Agentic Storefront. So we released Agentic Storefront last year, right? And it was like the very early. I'll just say that. It was a very early time. But we wanted to make sure people knew that this was going to be something that's automatically in their admin, that they would be able to control, like, how do I show up in the catalog? What does my app, my products look like? How do I rank? How do I improve? Like, we already got those questions very early on from merchants, even at the early days of when ChatGPT was coming out and starting to make waves with their commerce. And so this edition, we're going to continue building on this, but with this edition, we actually launched it a while ago, but we're kind of refeaturing it, where you can now go into your admin, go into Agentic Storefront, and you can see how your products are doing in the catalog. How am I ranking? Which terms am I showing up for? Which terms am I not showing up for that I should? And then what product information do I need to fill out to give Shopify and the catalog a better sense of what this product does, right? And like what, you know, if you're missing a product description, you're not going to rank as well, right? And I think that's what people want to understand is like, well, what's your, it's like just like SEO in the back in the day. It's like, what are you looking for so I can be honest about what my product does? It's like, okay, if you put that this is an auburn brown bag in the description, like we would also like for you to, you know, confirm that in the attribute section of your products that it maps to the standard brown color, right? Or tell us a better, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's actually like taupe. We don't know. Like, tell us more information about it. So you can actually do a bit of a health check on how you're ranking in the catalog inside of Agentic Storefronts. And then also you can keep tabs of any refer traffic, what GMV is coming from, these partners, like all of it is within one spot. And then you can also control, you know, which channels am I enabling for embedded checkout, if that's available. So let's say a partner has an embedded native checkout, meaning their pixels are kind of helping with the finalization, even though it's running through your checkout engine. But I don't want that, right? If you don't want that, but for whatever reason, because I really want to keep my checkout UI the same and I've built it, you can then specify and control that there, right? So I think there's everything from, we've tried to create like a one-stop shop inside of Shopify that has everything from how well am I ranking to what is the checkout experience look like on these channels and how do I control it so that people didn't have to think about it. And this is something that we're going to continue to invest in the rest of the year.
And this is the agentic sales channel in Shopify.
Agentic Storefront. Yeah, exactly.
Agentic Storefront. Yeah. So I find that sales channel in my Shopify admin. And then once I'm in there, I can get all the info I need. It's got my config in here. I'm looking at it for a real store. I'm thinking of this is an investment in a potential future that is developing so quickly. We're really not quite sure what it'll look like in 18 months. Having said that, this store has already generated $60,000 in the last 30 days, and it's been steadily generating increasing revenue through agentic storefronts for, geez, about a year now. Since last November is when we started to see it. And this isn't the only one. You know, there are more. So it's happening. You know, it is worth the effort to see, you know, where this goes. And the best part is, in my experience, it just is not, if you're confident in how this works, then it just is not a ton of effort to optimize for it and implement it.
So yeah, you're automatically in those channels. Like, you didn't have to do anything. Like, you just, you're on Shopify. You are on the latest version of UCP. You have your own well-known, right? You have your own continue cart URL. All the APIs are already available. You're UCP enabled by default because we are, you know, with Google and a couple other partners, we are the co-authoring UCP as a protocol. And then we've built the catalog, right? And so you get both of those things and you don't need to even think about it. But yeah, it's early and growing. I will say that. I will say, like, a lot of folks have been very skeptical about the growth of, you know, AI powered commerce. And I think this is, like, I've said this kind of before, but I think this is also where we make the bed. It's like, what are the tools that we're providing to make partners and developers successful in building new types of shopping experiences, right? I don't think we have to be afraid of it. I think that it's just we can make a more creative and natural UI for consumers to shop from, as long as we are honest about what we have to do to get there, right? So like the other part is a lot of folks are saying, I have this huge infrastructure built up for sessions and visits and UTM parameters and all of that is going to break because I won't see the top of funnel anymore. Like that stuff is going to go happen inside of an application out of the website. And how do I know what's going on? What conversations are happening about my product? How am I showing up? I know that there's a lot of anxiety around that. That's totally fair and understandable. This is our first foray into, okay, we're going to share as much as we know. And we're going to try and give you as much control as we have on how your products are doing. And that's why the catalog is such a big investment. It's only going to be useful to you as a merchant if it's useful to all of the developers and partners that are building with it. If not, we don't really have control, right? Anything. We don't have anything to give you. We don't have any data to give you. And so like that's why the investment on both sides is important. Like we had to build the catalog so that it was infrastructure that was very much needed for new partners who, you know, don't have their own search infra already. And then also as it's being used, that means that we have better data to give back to merchants, right, as well. So it's kind of like that dual philosophy of doing both.
Do you hear other e-commerce owners talking about finding a winning ad and think, I can't even get my ads above a 1.0 ROAS? You have to babysit your ads. You bump the budget 20% because Meta says you'll get better results if you spend more. Results get worse, so you drop it back down. You launch new creatives. None of them get spend. You question if Meta Ads is even going to work for your brand. The problem is you're not using a proven system. You're just guessing. And guessing works right up until the month it doesn't. Then you're stuck with a massive line item on your P&L called Meta Ads, with no additional revenue to show for it. The E-commerce Alley's Meta Ads scaling course was built for exactly this. You get a budgeting framework, a two-campaign structure for testing and scaling, and a weekly checklist so you always know what to touch and what to leave alone. And all of it costs $27. That's it. Visit ecommercealley.com/Kurt and scale your Meta Ads on a system instead of lighting your money on fire. Thanks, E-commerce Alley, for sponsoring this episode in part.
So if I want to optimize for this, you know, this agentic future, I want, even if I'm not sure if this will happen, the level of effort to opt into it, I'm in it by default, aren't I? Like, I really, I'm like, look, I don't care, but maybe something happens. The answer is, well, don't do anything. And like, you're just there already. If you want to put in a little bit of effort, you can see what it's doing. You can optimize for it by trying a query with your store. Like, I'm thinking through this as an exercise. When I run the query, so if I'm in a tea store and I say green tea, it's going to come back with like, here are the top 10 results. But then right. It tells me like, oh, listing completeness, you know, here's what you have filled out. Here's where you could improve. As this is essentially telling me, hey, if you want to optimize your catalog for these queries, this is how.
Exactly. And I think it's because people want to also spend energy optimizing because they're like, well, I have all this, you know, I want to take action and do something about this like early but growing set of traffic. Where do I put that energy? Right. And so we needed to also say, okay, well, this is what we know. This is where we think you should put energy, filling out your product details, making sure that your products are categorized correctly. And we will continue to do that. Like, I don't think this is like another milestone in agentic storefronts, but it's going to be a long journey. You will continue to see this channel change and grow.
I think this is going to evolve.
Yeah, absolutely.
The, and then the other nice part about this is really you gain outside of just agentic storefront by having a more complete listing, right? That's going to anything that generates a product feed, anyone who is viewing the catalog, SEO and structured data, all that's going to benefit from these changes as well, I would have to imagine.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. Because it goes into your product model at the end of the day. So it'll be surfaced everywhere.
So I want to go, just to recap it, give me a one-liner, you know, a headline for UCP, either like what it is or why, you know, some takeaway on what you're building here.
Yeah, I mean, catalog and UCP are like kind of two parts to of the same coin, right? So catalog is about discovery. It's about making sure that your products show up wherever customers are shopping, not just today, but into the future, right? And to your point, you don't have to do anything. So like, it's the easiest thing. We're building the infrastructure. If you want, you can optimize it and help make sure that your product information is like complete, but you don't have to do anything. The second part is the transaction. That's what UCP does, right? UCP also includes some discovery as well, but the bulk of UCP is about cart and checkout and the negotiation that happens every time a checkout happens, right? So we poured all the energy that we had around what is, what do we know about basically helping millions of businesses transact billions of times, right? And the variety of business rules that have to get executed every single time any handshake over the internet happens, right? And we said, okay, let's build it into a protocol. It really isn't AI specific. Like, you could actually use UCP to power any shopping experience. It really is just like codifying a lot of what we have known in the in building, you know, our checkout, and then working with partners and kind of bringing their, you know, retail expertise, or, you know, bringing their transaction and their technical expertise together and saying like, okay, well, this is a protocol that essentially models everything from, okay, there's a cart. Okay, this is what I know about the consumer of the cart. This is the final API for I want to do a checkout. These are all the ways that as a business, you can say, I support these payment providers. This is my shipping options. I support, you know, a discount code, or I require a loyalty program to be able to check out, right? And then all of those capabilities are then kind of codified. And then any application on the other side can then say, cool, I cannot support a loyalty program. I'm going to pop up and do a web checkout instead, so that this is super smooth. So it's this UCP is this kind of like handshake between, okay, I'm the application and you guys are the checkout. How do we make this work, right? And so it's that API layer that is basically enabled on all of Shopify stores. All of Shopify stores have the right handshake, well-known, you know, site, so that it's reachable by any agent or any application. And all of the APIs we've kind of updated over the last few months to support the latest version of UCP. So like everything from cart all the way to checkout, it's supported on Shopify. So you're UCP enabled. If some application developer in the future says, cool, I'm going to build against UCP, you are already capable of supporting a transaction on that site.
So anyone out there, you know, I would imagine people are already building with this. My products, that's just increased surface area across the internet, you know, more impressions, exactly. More people, more potential. All my reward for being a good boy and filling out my product listings completely. Everyone is happier with me, but all my products are going to show up more often in new experiences that have not even been imagined yet.
Exactly. And then UCP is also open and available. So that developers can take the catalog and UCP and start developing end-to-end shopping applications. And that is so cool.
That is cool. Okay. One thing, I don't know if we touched on this at the start. You have been at Shopify a long time. How long?
Oh, yeah. I've been here, I want to say like 9.5 years now. It'll be 10 years in February.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been, it's been a ride. It's been, I almost can't believe it's been almost a decade.
Beautiful. Okay. Coming to the end of our time together, I want some practical takeaways. What's the thing, if I'm a partner or I'm a merchant, what is the one thing you want me to go do?
Ooh, okay. Go look at agentic storefronts. Give us feedback on it. Let us know how it's working for you or how it's not working for you. So this is agentic storefronts. Go try the catalog. Like, literally, even if you are not a developer, whether you're, you know, you're maybe a designer within a partner team, go use it and think of a new shopping experience. Use the catalog to power. You can even within the catalog say, I only want this catalog to search across these shops. So if you want to create, let's say I want to create, an application that only shops across the brands within this umbrella brand, right? And then like, what can you do with that? That is like super cool. These brand experiences are just like super fun. Build something that, you know, isn't, you know, it could be just like a campaign that could launch, you know, unleash some of that creativity. I would love to see it. Please tweet me, tweet.
It's always Twitter in my heart.
Yeah. That's what I like to think too. But like, tell me about it. I would love to see it. And what can we do to make that easier and better? I think those are probably like the two big takeaways. The other thing that I'll leave you with is to, especially for, you know, our diehard partners, is to not sleep on retail in 2026. Like if I were to impart the last kind of like completely tangential thing from everything agentic and AI that we just discussed, is like the retail team is absolutely popping off in terms of the features that they are releasing. If you have not checked out, you know, the new version of POS that we released in March.
POS, point of sale. That's yep.
Point of sale.
I think if you're an app developer, that one is the blue ocean. You know, the Shopify, the app store, we pretty much solved all our problems unless you're like really creative.
Yes.
POS retail, so much more opportunity there. I have, you know, I've had my eye on it. I want to build something for it. I think I'll start with, you know, extend our latest promo, our free gift app, get it so it integrates into POS. That's a good like first experience with it. And then, you know, see if we come up with something original for it. But no, for sure. I come to .dev in Toronto, I'm definitely going to be talking to the retail team.
Yeah, please. Because the thing that like I stress with the retail team a lot is our job is to build the foundations, right? Because without the foundations, we don't have enough reach to make it an interesting surface for you to build on because there's not enough people using it. And so we spend a bit of time kind of going back to our roots of like, okay, well, what is an in-person checkout machine need to be? It needs to be reliable and it needs to be fast. It's not that different from online checkout, right? And so we did everything from like, okay, the hub helped with peripheral reliability. We've now halved the amounts of peripheral connection failures, which is good because that means you get there and you're right away starting to scan items. Your receipt printer is there. Everything is smooth. We redesigned the application itself, not like a full redesign, but we took like really important steps to make sure that everything from the ergonomics of the cart is always stable. The tap targets actually feel like tap targets that you can touch, not small, tiny, you know, buttons or links that you have to hit. We've kind of got rid of all the modals. We've reduced the screens that take you from checkout to back to, oh, I'm ready for the new checkout. Something from like 5 to like 1. Like it's been such a journey. We've saved now, I think I looked recently, we've saved like years of time from sales associates around the world from the features that we've shipped in the first half of this year. And so now we're at this place where we're like, okay, we're not going to continue that. That's our bread and butter. We're going to continue to invest in the foundation. It's got to be fast. It's got to be reliable, right? And there's still some work we have to do there. However, we've now earned the right to be like, okay, now let's play. Now what can we do? What else can we do with this platform, right? We've now earned the right to be a reliable POS out in the market, in my opinion, now one of the best. And if that's the case, now we can be like, okay, what are we doing with the smart grid? How are we allowing app developers to build fast, reliable, but like creative experiences now, right? Inside of the point of sale smart grid. And so there's a lot more that we're looking at. Okay, how do we, there was a set of APIs already and extension points, but like, how do we build it to be even better, even more capabilities? All based on the fact that we've invested so much on like the foundation. So don't sleep on retail. I think that's really interesting. There's also a lot of interesting stuff we're going to do with customers and making sure that retailers know who's walking in their store. You know, so there's a lot of stuff coming in the second half of this year that I'm excited about.
I had a couple of years ago got to like a behind the scenes on how a local large garden business, Shelley Nursery, the North Shore of Chicago, is using POS in practice. Yeah. And I was like, wow, even then I was like, I didn't know it did half of this. And then, you know, we have in an upcoming episode, we're going to talk to one of your colleagues, Helen Moo, who's going to walk us through. She's going to walk us through the POS changes. And so I'm looking forward to that because 20 years ago, I did a lot of retail. You know, I have used my share of painful POS systems. Man, I would have killed to have something like Shopify POS then.
Oh man, it's just the beginning. This next year, I would say the next 18 months, 12 to 18 months for retail will be a huge effort for Shopify. And so it's like this funny thing because like we've invested so much into agentic and UCP, but also like I loved to expose this layered cake because people forget sometimes UCP takes such a large amount of mind share from people. But like we are also a growing point of sale. right? And what does that mean for how much we can help merchants, you know, build the retail locations that they want, understand the customers that are coming through? Like, there's so much opportunity. So yeah, absolutely, don't sleep on retail.
But the important one, where do we go to learn about Editions?
Well, it will be in everyone's admin. So if you are on Shopify, please go check it out. It will be in your home screen. But also there will just be the Editions site, which is probably the best way to come across it. So and we will be doing a lot of stuff on X in the next week as Editions kind of rolls out and we have people kind of nerd out on it and give us feedback. So please give us feedback. We love it. We really thrive on it. It'll be in everyone's admin. And if not, it will be absolutely on Twitter X.
I love it. Vanessa Lee, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kurt. This was so fun. Let's do it again.
Absolutely. Hey, before you go, I was hoping you would check out our new app, Promo Party Pro. It is what I want to be the single best, easiest way to run a free gift with purchase promo on Shopify. We just put it live in the App Store. We've got less than 50 users. We want your feedback. So if you need to run a free gift with purchase promo in the near future, install it, try it. There's a live chat. I check that all the time. And so if you have any issues at all, you know, or any suggestions on how we can make it even easier to use, let us know. We're happy to help. If you want to try it, search Promo Party in the App Store. Promo Party Pro is the app. Give it a shot. It's got a free trial. Thanks.